Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
And now, back to the man who humbly and graciously accepted the 2002 Small Business Journalist of the Year Award.
Who's the man? Who's the man?
Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We are back. It's 34 after. Thanks for hanging around with us. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Gene Siciliano was here, too, because if he weren't, wouldn't be nearly as much fun. Gene is a CPA. Gene is a guy who goes around the country helping small, medium businesses put their best foot forward with their finances, making sure that they've got their companies capitalized properly, and just helping them with the whole financial aspect of their business. He's got a book out that's outstanding, published by McGraw-Hill, called Finance for the Non-Financial Manager. That means plain English for folks like me. And it's a good one. Gene Siciliano, welcome back to the show.
Thanks very much, Jim. Great to be here.
It's good to have you back. Hey, Gene, I know what you want to talk about family businesses this morning. And it's interesting the way people define this thing, family business. See, I say that if you have a business and you have a family, you have a family business. But the strict definition of a family business is one where the family works in the business together, right?
Yes, that's right. That's right. And it's most often relevant where the elements of the family that work in the business are in succession, as in father and sons. That's where most of the challenges seem to arise, because there's a succession there. There's a passing business on to the next generation.
Or mother and daughter, or father and daughter, or mother and son, or whatever, all the different...
Any of those combinations.
All the different variations.
You bet.
The reason I said what I did about family business is because... You never get very far. The business is never very far away from the life of the family. Well, even if there's nobody in the family other than the owner working in the business, but for purposes of succession planning, as you were talking about, it is important that we define a family business today as a business where a son or a daughter, or maybe a spouse. What about a spouse? Could that be a succession issue too?
It could be. Yes, certainly.
Or even a son-in-law or a daughter-in-law.
I tend to think of it as two generations in the business.
Right. Yeah.
It certainly could be husband and wife, but those typically are different kinds of problems because they've been in the business together, as opposed
right.
I built this up and now I want to pass it on to you. And that's where some very special problems come up that seem to be great challenges for many of the clients that I've worked with.
So a lot of times in my career, I've run into where the son-in-law, the daughter wasn't in the business, but the son-in-law was. Or maybe it was a nephew or a cousin. But as you say, typically two generations.
True, typically two generations. And all of those situations that you mentioned, Jim, can work exactly the same way. They have the same kind of close family ties where there's strong loyalty and very often good support from the parent or the founder of the company, management support, financial support, training, even love, all those kind of things that make a family-owned business very special and very unique. And unfortunately, they bring along with those advantages a whole host of disadvantages.
The world of a small business owner can be a wacky world sometimes without the family element involved. And then when you fold in the family element, the love and the love-hate thing, and all the other stuff that goes with it, it can really become wacky on steroids, right? Can it, Gene?
It is a whole new dimension of challenge for managing the business. No question about it.
Yeah,
it really is.
So, what are some things that we can do? Let's focus on those businesses where. What should we say? The owner is how far away from?
Let's use a typical situation. You know, with our baby boomers now, we're finding that there are an awful lot of business where there's an aging parent wanting to pass the business on to the next generation, and the next generation maybe has been working in the business for a few years, father is, as in the typical case, is perhaps. 70, 75, 80, maybe even younger in some cases, but really wanting to relax and enjoy the fruits of what they have built.
Right.
And so let's use sun as the example without trying to cover all of the possibilities.
Right.
The things that most come up is that there may be flaws in the child's approach, in the son's approach to the business, that might be either overlooked or magnified.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of like either we don't, dad doesn't see them, or dad absolutely blows them up and makes them huge.
Out of proportion.
Either one becomes a potential fatal flaw for the business.
Stand by, Gene. We're going to take a quick break, folks. When we come back, we're going to get Gene to tell us some more about this family succession thing. This is very important in the lives of millions of small business owners out there right now. It's happening right now. 20 Till, stay with us. We'll be right back with Gene Siciliano, the answer of finance for the non-financial manager.
Deep down in Louisiana, close to New Orleans, way back up in the woods among the evergreens, there stood a log cabin made of earth and wood, where lived a country boy named Johnny B. Good.
We're back at 17 Till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and the show coming up straight ahead, Memorial Day. And we're going to have, first up, it's going to be me. I'm going to go over some more questions. Then we're going to have Doug Stevens, and then we're going to have Ray Browning, and then Governor Jim Gilmore. And I'll tell you more about them a little bit later on. That's coming up in the show straight ahead. Let's get back to our good friend Gene Siciliano. We're talking about business succession planning. And we're talking about two generations. We're talking about when an owner, a mother or father, is passing the business on to a child, typically. We'll use that as an example. Right, Gene? And so you were talking about the different ways, the two different ways that a parent thinks about the child. And I think you give us those two ways again, because I think this is very important, very instructive to talk about.
Any child, any person, any worker, any of us comes with strengths and weaknesses. And the strengths obviously benefit the businesses, but typically a parent will either look at the weaknesses and either overlook them or magnify them, make them huge. And either way, it gets to the situation where potentially the child can do nothing right. If you don't do it my way, it's wrong. And that builds resentment, which builds friction, which goes on to anger, and sometimes the relationship can be destroyed, as well as the family business, just by dealing with those management weaknesses with blinders on.
Well, either the father thing or the parent thinks the child can do no wrong, and that's a disaster for the company. Plus, it's also very demoralizing for the other members of the management team who aren't related, or the parent thinks that the child can't do anything, and that's a train wreck for the business because of the relationship between the parent and the child.
Yeah, it really is, and it's amazing that parents don't see the need to treat their children just like any other senior manager of the business. Now, there's no question, even when they come in at a young age, they're effectively part of the senior management of the business rather than just another worker. So I understand that, but the need to treat them like any other person, identify strengths and weaknesses objectively and look for ways to supplement, to hire people to compensate for the kind of weaknesses that perhaps your child has, so that the business itself has both strengths. Get outside advisors to help identify them and look for ways to compensate for that. Don't beat the child up and try to expect them to magically be good at something they're just not good at.
Are you saying that if I bring my son or daughter into my business, I should basically stipulate to myself, I will not handle this properly? There's a better than average chance, better than 50-50 chance, that I will think of my son or my daughter one way or the other because I'm so close to them, and I should stipulate to myself that I'm probably not going to handle it as well as I should, and I need to get help right away. Is that what you're saying?
That's really beautifully said, Jim. That really is what I'm saying, because it is likely that that's exactly what will happen. And if it
even if
happen,
you think even if you think you're well balanced and you've you know your sons and daughters' faults and weakness and strengths and all that kind of stuff, it's still you still need another pair of eyes, don't you?
You have to believe that those strengths and weaknesses that are very tolerable in the family environment suddenly get applied very differently and have very different impact in the business.
All right. Now there are family business counselors out there. One of them is a member of our Brain Trust, Ellen Frankenberg, who's one of the original. She was actually on my show the very first week I ever did the show back in 97. Ellen Frankenberg, and you know some family business psychologists too, don't you?
I do. There are some folks out here in Los Angeles that have made a very successful business doing that. But, you know, a lot of business advisors, that they don't have to be in the family business uniquely to be able to help. There are a lot of professionals out there that can help these family businesses identify and strengthen those weaknesses that might hurt the business, either weaknesses that are real or perceived.
Mm-hmm.
Simply matter, as you said, reaching out and getting that help for the business.
Sometimes the issue gets really complicated when you have more than one child who can be in succession, but the oldest child, which, you know, based on primogeniture, would be the first choice. The oldest child is not the best person to take the reins. Maybe it's the one that's 2 or 3 years younger, and maybe that's a girl, maybe that's a daughter and not a son. That's when it gets kind of dicey, doesn't it?
That is true. That is very true. There can be very, very challenging challenges to the relationship among the siblings, and certainly stresses between the parent as the parent tries to do the right thing, but the right thing may not be the best thing for the business, may not be the best thing for the family.
Right.
It may not be the, quote, right thing at all.
What do you think about, I had someone, when I was a consultant, for small businesses, I had a parent one time say that their son was coming out of college and wanted to come into the business. And what did he think I ought to do? What did he want to know what I thought he ought to do? And I said, you know what? I think you ought to tell your son to get his resume together and go find a job and go work for somebody else for a couple of years before he comes into the business. I think he needs to find out what it's like out there somewhere else. And I still think that was good advice. He didn't take it. But I thought that was good advice. What do you think?
I think it can very often be exactly the right thing to do, Jim. You're right. The business needs to have a broader look at how it should run and the way things should operate. And sometimes a son or daughter will come into a business much wiser if they've had a little sense of what the rest of the world is like.
Well, and they'll appreciate whatever opportunity is there, too, if they've seen things in other parts of the marketplace. Tintel, stay with us. We'll be right back with Gene Siciliano. His book is called Finance for the Non-Financial Manager. We're back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and my website is www.jbsba.com. Gene Siciliano is our guest. Let me spell his name for you. S-I-C-I-L-I-A-N-O. S-I-C-I-L-I-A-N-O. Gene with a G. And he's our good friend. He's the author of Finance for the Non-Financial Manager. And Gene, give us your website, please.
Website is www.cfo4rent. cfoforrent.com.
I love that.
Love to have people come there. Lots of good information there for them.
I love that title. Gene, I saw recently a statistic that said less than 30% of family businesses survived to the second generation and only 10% make it to the third. Why do you think that is?
Boy, I think it's because of some of the things we're talking about, Jim, because that next generation hasn't been properly prepared to take over the business. There is not a good succession plan in place where the strengths and weaknesses in that next generation are identified and resolved or addressed in an objective, upfront way. Or maybe the estate planning wasn't done, so the parent really needed the money from the business in order to be able to finance their retirement rather than having prepared adequately for it before that retirement came.
Yeah. It could be the finance. It could be that they just, you know, the parent made the child so unhappy that they didn't want to be in the business. But I'll tell you, Gene, I have seen, I know you have too, I've seen sad situations where the child watch the business being sold right out from under them because they couldn't afford to buy the business from the parent the way an arm's length buyer could do.
Absolutely right, and that's the estate planning thing that I was talking about, because the parent needed that money to retire and couldn't afford to pass it to the children or to the siblings to run, had to have the cash or the proceeds from selling the business. And so a business that's been in the family for generations, perhaps, is suddenly gone.
Was most of that, you think, just a situation of not really understanding how to structure a deal where a child could keep it? Or of course, sometimes I have seen it where the parent was convinced that the child couldn't earn their way out of this. They wouldn't have, you know, if they moved to Florida and let the child send them the money, they didn't think that they'd get all the checks. But isn't there some structural education that can happen that could solve some of this?
Yeah, all of that is a possibility, Jim. But one of the things I've found in these situations is that of all the functional activities that go on in a business, manufacturing, engineering, sales and marketing, finance, the weakest area seems to consistently be finance, understanding how a business works financially and understanding how to finance what you're doing, how to run it in a financially responsible way. And very often that occurs in both generations, in both the founding generation and the next generation. And sometimes these sales occur because there isn't an understanding of how to prevent it or how to do it properly.
And I think that's another where we come back to your original advice of finding somebody else to help you look at this. Because let's say that you're 50 years old and you're going to retire at 65, and you've got a 25-year-old child that you want to bring into the business. But you know that right now that person is not capable of taking over the business. And so you need to bring in, to me, you need to bring in somebody to help you so that in 15 years, not only the child and you and the child are comfortable with this person taking over, but that you've made sure that the business has been managed so that they can and get you out and let you get an exit strategy.
And all you're really saying is that a succession plan is not a 2-year plan. It may very well be a 20-year plan.
Yeah. And that includes... Not that includes the finance of the business and the financial planning of the owner itself, him or herself.
Absolutely. The estate plan so that the owner can get out and have the wherewithal to retire, and the planning, the training the son or the daughter or the in-law to have the right kind of skill set, the right kind of experience, as you said, perhaps out in the world, so when they finally take over the business, they can, in fact, enhance it. They're not struggling just to hold on to it.
If I were given an opportunity to help people take that advice that you just gave them, Gene, I would have them sit down in front of one of these families I was talking about and see the heartbreak when mom and pop need to sell and the child, they actually sold the business out from under the child. Heartbreak on both sides. If you could see that, you would avoid it at all costs.
I bet that would be a big lesson.
It sure would. Gene Siciliano, give us your website one more time.
www.cfoforrent.com.
And the book is called Finance for the Non-Financial Manager. It's available wherever books are sold, right, Gene?
That's absolutely right.
Thanks. Gene Siciliano, thanks, Gene, for being here.
You're welcome, Jim. Great to be here.
See you next time. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. And don't forget, this program is for you. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.